Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, that's Ryan, she's Lacey, and I'm Dakota, and this is Too Much Nerd Talk. I almost said this is Ask Me Leviathan, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, because I'm officially the best. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Oh, I don't even know what show I'm doing anymore. Oh, so anyways, what have you guys been up to your past?
Oh, you know, just laying around naked.
No. Shut up. You're not
Sounds
naked.
About right.
I'm naked right now.
You are not. I would not be near you if you were naked. I live with Landon.
The only question I have for Ryan is, does he know the difference in the taste of hot wings?
In the taste of hot wings?
I saw you you ate at
hot wings.
Good Wings today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. They're not like grapes. They actually have different flavors.
Shush, grapes, you just can't taste.
Then that means they have no flavor.
For you, not everybody else. Anyways, moving on.
What you been up to, Dakota?
Let's see, been working a lot, being a dad, and I think I've done two or three shows in between there.
Congratulations on the approval of the adoption of your daughter.
Yay!
Well, thank you. If everybody that didn't know, that has finally gone through, paperwork is final, and she's mine now, so yay!
She's yours already, but anyhow.
I can't give her back now. So, but.
You tried so hard and got so far.
Yeah, I tried. I was like, they're like, you already signed the papers. I was like, I'm just kidding.
But are you?
I don't know. If that little kid heard me say that, she would probably punch me in the head or something.
I'd punch you in the head.
She's a little meanie. Nah, she's awesome. It's so crazy, though, like, before I was officially, like, because like you just said, I was your dad from the beginning, but I wasn't as nervous then. Now that it's, like, official, I'm like, okay. I'm going to fuck up on
something.
It's
too late now.
Well, you have a daughter, bro. Like, does it get any better throughout the years? Any easier?
Define better.
I mean, it's, like, easier, you know what I mean?
I mean, it gets better every day, but, like, as far as, like, the parts that most parents are scared of, like diapers and teaching them how to use the toilet and stuff, yeah, it gets better after that.
Awesome. All
but
right,
then,
so I do have some
but
nice
then once they become potty trained and stuff, then they start developing an attitude in a mouth, so you have to give up changing their butt. Having a screaming match with them. So.
Sometimes.
But I love kids.
She's already kind of like that now a little bit. Like, she's starting to put,
she's
like,
preparing.
Sentences together. But none of the sentences
still
make sense.
Still poops her pants, though?
It'd be like, she'll literally be, like, saying something, and it sounds like she's speaking in Japanese, and then, like, one word will come out that you understand. She'll be like, other than a doggy. And you're like, exactly.
Hang on a second.
Thank you.
Don't leave yet. I'm eating that hot fudge sundae.
Oh, are you?
She had to close. So tonight, we're going to show as well
pay respects,
I guess, to the Dragon Ball creator Akira Toriyama.
Okay, rest in peace.
I just figured we'd do a few about the author, some trivia and some quotes and some things like that. Then, you know, kind of do some fun stuff like who's our favorite Dragon Ball character, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that'd be pretty nice to do this week.
That sounds good. All right. Well, let's start it off with, why don't you give us a little background of the man, if you, like, tell us what you know about him. Like,
right. So Akira Toriyama is a Japanese manga writer. He's a manga artist. Typically, when you think of a manga artist, they're usually they're the same person that does the artwork and the story at the same time. So that means not only did he create the story of Dragon Ball, but he drew all of the characters, every panel, every piece of hair, every button on every clothing item. So if you can imagine, this was a big deal. Well, he started working as an artist in 1978. So he's a pretty old guy. A lot of people don't realize how old Dragon Ball really is. Like, Dragon Ball started hitting TVs in Japan in 1989. Like,
well, here's something, not to interrupt you. Here's something I just looked up real quick. It says Goku made his debut in the first Dragon Ball chapter. Bulma and Son Goku, originally published in Japan's weekly, I'm going to totally mess this word up, Shonen Jump magazine. On December 3rd in 1984 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, Goku was Bulma's son?
No. Just it was one of those kind of like pilot where like he didn't really know where he was going with it at the time.
That's just how
he started. In 1984, he was still doing a series called Dr. Slump, which was his very first. It was like a kind of like a science fiction comedy that had characters that would randomly show up in Dragon Ball. Like there's a little robot girl named Aurelie that would periodically show up in Dragon Ball, and she was like non-canon. Like her best friend was like a little cherub fairy and a smiling shit on a stick. So I mean, like very like Japanese comedy, not anything like what Dragon Ball would eventually develop into, which a lot of people don't realize. Dragon Ball is a lot more action adventure comedy. When you get to Z, you know, that's when it's screaming and key blasts and all that, but before that it was very silly and nonsensical.
Dragon Ball, like, I love Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z was my favorite, and I'm slowly growing on Dragon Ball Super. Like,
well, that's usually how the order goes.
I love
Super. The first thing I watched was Dragon Ball Z, and then I caught Dragon Ball.
Yeah, most people in the West were introduced to Z before they were the original Dragon Ball, which is fine. It's like a
character.
There's a tone shift when you go into Z. It becomes more about martial arts and who's the strongest and who can scream the loudest and how many times Krillin can die in one season. Yamcha. Like,
freaking Yamcha.
The original Dragon Ball was more of a, it was more of an adventure. There was an actual, like, a journey that this character, and of course he didn't have Super Saiyans and crap like that back then, so it was very different.
So when did Super Saiyans come out in it then?
Oh, Super Saiyans didn't come out until about a third of the way through Z.
Before then,
it was just Goku was a very strong martial artist. It wasn't, the whole, oh, I'm an alien thing, But
gotcha.
Dragon Ball started in 1984, the manga. And it was one of the first of what they would call a shonen. Like you just said, the name of the magazine is called Shonen Jump. A shonen anime is kind of like an anime with like a, and I know there's somebody on the internet that's going to give me hate for this, but it's like you have a main protagonist who wants to be the strongest or who has a dream, like Naruto or One Piece and stuff, and they go on an adventure and they get stronger and they meet their friends. This was like the first big successful shonen of all time, and that's why people kind of give Toriyama credit as being like the, they literally call him like the godfather of all manga and anime, because he created there were other stories at the time, but nothing like this before, Right. So Dragon Ball has since been adapted, which in Japan, even though they do distinguish that there's a Dragon Ball and a Dragon Ball Z in the books and stuff, the manga, usually if you refer to Dragon Ball in Japan, it's all just like under the same, like you don't call the Batman TV series Batman Part 1, Batman, it's just all Batman, right? So like in Japan, Dragon Ball is just Dragon Ball. Whereas in America in 1986, we got Dragon Ball. In 1989, Dragon Ball Z started on Toonami and Toei Animation Studios. And Dragon Ball GT, which is dark horse.
So
let me
ask this then, because when I was a little kid, I guess I don't know if I just didn't have cable or something back then or what,
mm-hmm.
but like I guess I just didn't have the channels it came on, because I don't really remember getting it till
the first episode I can ever remember
watching was it was New Year's night of like 2000, and it was literally the. Like first two episodes of Dragon Ball Z, or maybe the first three or four, like the Raditz
mm-hmm.
thing, like a little saga they had.
Well, what really brought Dragon Ball Z into the mainstream and saved it, as far as English audiences, is arguably Toonami.
Yeah,
which was on Cartoon
that
Network.
Saturday,
it was
I was going to say Saturday mornings
right.
too, because I used to catch
mm-hmm.
it on Saturdays.
Yep. Saturday mornings on certain stations, and Toonami on Cartoon Network would play like a 3 to 4 hour block of like anime or edgy kind of shows that like younger boys and girls and stuff would like as teenagers, and Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, Gundams,
Zoids.
If
Digimon, I remember right though, like wasn't that. The Toonami versions though, weren't they more like unrated, but like more. Like, they would cuss and stuff
well,
in them
originally,
when they
were
that would
on,
come on Saturdays.
Like, when they were on primetime or, like during the day, they would be, like, cut, censored versions.
And then Adult Swim after 10 o'clock.
Right. So some of the stations that played them on Saturday and then Adult Swim, which was, like, a night. I mean, everybody knows what Adult Swim is, I think. It's
yeah.
like we're family
I got it on my TV right now. It's on
right.
my TV right now.
So,
I'm
Adult Swim.
Here, so.
Would start bringing Toonami on Saturdays and certain nights of the week, they would have like an anime day. And this is where we would get the original uncut, uncensored anime, which Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z is not really brutal or anything, but there's some nudity. There's rare cussing. And of course they don't change the color of the blood. They leave it red and all that. So, pretty cool to be able to see Dragon Ball the way it was intended to.
Yes.
But basically,
right,
you
yeah.
had he started Dragon Ball, and he had Dragon Ball GT is actually not a manga. He didn't draw, or I wouldn't say that he hated it per se. He kind of let Toei Animation do their own adaptation of after he finished Dragon Ball Z. But then in 2015. Dragon Ball Super, which was approved by Akira Toriyama. He had a very large influence in that, and it became what would be known as canon, I guess, and it kind of replaced Dragon Ball GT. It went from 2015 to 2018, and it was very successful. It spawned several movies, Broly, superheroes, and it's the manga of Super, even after Toriyama's death, is still planned to continue. It's just taking a hiatus for his death out of respect.
Yes.
So, you know, and the reason it can do that is because, like we'll talk later, Toriyama actually picked a successor because he's been doing manga his whole life, and he was, you know, the guy was ready to retire. So he's like, I'm going to teach somebody else how to draw Goku and stuff. That way I can.
He's the only one that's ever drawn
right.
for anything.
So,
oh, wow.
He
usually has a bunch of people drawing.
He kind of entrusted the plot to this new guy, and then he peaced out and went into other worlds. Rest in peace.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think his opinion of the Evolution movie would have been, or is?
Oh, he hated it. He hated it.
Did he ever do? Oh, so he yeah. did do an interview talking about it? Okay.
I don't know
that
if
right
it was
there had
so
to be like a spit
interview.
In his face a little bit.
I don't know if it was so much an interview, but I have seen several things online and stuff where he said that he was that he didn't approve of how they changed source material and things.
Well, I mean, you would have to think that dude, that's like his whole life, and they just like fucking spit in his face on it all pretty much with that movie.
Well, it's one thing a lot of manga people like. and a lot of people didn't know this, Toriyama didn't really care for the anime either. He didn't hate the anime. He liked that people were enjoying his work, but he always thought that the manga, the book, the drawing was the best way to experience Dragon Ball, which, you know, that's, you know, I can respect that. I disagree. I'd rather see it acted out. But, right. You know, he never, like, he was never against the anime or anything. He was very vocal that he thought his original work was the best version of it.
You gotta think that, when they done that, it's English dubbed and it's whatever.
They changed some of the lines.
Lines are different.
They add filler, like the Garlic Jr. arc and stuff.
For example, Goku in America is like goofy in Dragon Ball Z. He's really like, anyways, he's different and he's like the American hero and everything else.
Right.
But then when you look at his original or whatever, in Super is actually how he really is.
Yeah, so like in the early 90s, you had that upsurge of anime and TV shows like Transformers, G.I. Joe, the All-American Heroes and stuff. So in the original English dub, when it came through America, Goku was kind of painted as like the hero of justice, the light in the darkness, you know, saving the world. And in the manga and in Japan, he's kind of dumb. Like, he's intelligent, but he has no street smarts. And also, even though he does end up saving the world and he protects innocent people, he's more so in it to test his own abilities and strength than he is. Like, he straight up says multiple times, I'm not a hero or anything. I'm just not going to let an innocent person get hurt while I'm trying to get stronger. And so when Super comes out and he acts more stupid and less like a hero and people start saying, I don't like this version of Goku, he's selfish. And it's like, no, this is the way Goku's always supposed to be. He's just not a 90s American superhero anymore.
Which also helps, like, Vegeta's my favorite because they actually portrayed him pretty, he has a huge character.
Yeah, it's that widow suit.
seriously though, he has a huge character development, but also he's kind of the same in both places. Like, they didn't change him that much.
Well, Toriyama has vocally stated that he doesn't like Vegeta. That's kind of the reason why Vegeta gets shafted all the time. But he can't. I think after a point in time, if you think of Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super, you know the two lead men is always Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah.
They're the top, you know, dogs. So
even when they tried to switch it over to Gohan and his whole Saiyan Man bullshit, they tried to do that for a little bit.
That's a whole other thing too. That's another reason people didn't really care for the superhero movie is because Gohan has kind of been a disappointment since he was an adult, and Akira Toriyama has always
favored
Gohan. He originally wanted to actually stop the manga after the Cell games. Like, Gohan was supposed to, which, spoilers, if you don't know that Gohan killed Cell by now, you need to watch more TV. But Gohan killed Cell in 1992 in Japan. I was a baby in 1992. I was literally just out of the womb. So if you don't know about Gohan killing Cell, you need to watch more TV. But anyway, so he killed Goku off. Gohan became the successor. That was supposed to be it. And he was done. He was like, I'm done with manga. I want to live the rest of my life, you know. Well, people need money, and
fans
started pressuring him, and, you know, his producers and stuff wanted him to, or his people, I guess, I don't know what they're called, but his panel, I guess, urged him to create more, so he's like, okay, I'm going to do it the way I want to, though. So he brings Goku back, and he kind of nerfs Gohan and puts him back in his place. He's not the strongest anymore, But, like, when he made Superhero, he made Gohan, once again, like, one of the strongest characters. And a lot of the fans were kind of miffed at it because they're like, but you made him weak and disappointing. Why is he strong again? And he basically just, without being rude about it, he's like, he's my character and I can make him strong if I want him to.
Which I'm cool with that. But I wish they would do more with Goten and Trunks, like, especially since they built Trunks up so much with future Trunks.
Well, there's a thing about Akira that you have to understand is that he's a very forgetful person.
I get that, too.
For
you're
somebody... right. For somebody to be one of, like, the godfather of manga and anime...
Look how long he's been doing it. I forget, too.
He literally forgets things. Like, there's a character in Dragon Ball called Launch. When she would sneeze, she would go from this timid, like,
the evil,
blue-haired,
like, nice
sweetheart, she would turn into a blonde she-devil that would rob trains and shoot people with machine guns. Well, she was prominent in Dragon Ball. She was, like, from the very beginning, she was one of the main characters. As soon as he got to Dragon Ball Z, he literally states he forgot that she existed. She never appears again, ever again.
Is that what happened?
There's no death.
I just thought, like, something, like, she got killed off or something.
Nope. He literally forgot she was there.
Even like, from Dragon Ball, like, the little village people and stuff that he, like, was really,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, he'll just forget about poor characters. Like,
what happened to the Frankenstein from the Dragon Ball series?
Like,
the Frankenstein one that...
The Frankenstein is Android number 8.
Yep.
He's just another character also that's still there. He never showed him again. But even the Saiyans, like, that he created, like, he created their species that they had to have tails because that's how they turned into the big apes during the full moon. He forgot about them having tails. That's why Goten and Trunks don't have tails in the Majin Buu saga, because Akira literally forgot that his own characters had tails when they were children.
They had to go back and, like, cover it up and say that they took him off at birth.
Yeah, like, the dubs would go back and be like, well, we removed it when they were a baby. But in reality, Akira was just like, oops. And it's like he forgot to put it in there.
Wow.
Like, even fan, like.
If I was him, I would have been like, it's because they're only half Saiyan, so they didn't have tails.
That's literally pretty much what it is because, you know, you're not going to go back and be like, hey, dude, you messed up when you're the creator of the most successful manga on the planet, pretty much.
Right.
Sorry, I got to get there.
Oh.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. You guys are big fans of DBZ and Dragon Ball and everything.
Oh, man, I love
it. Out of all of the series, who had the worst death?
Who had the worst what?
Death?
Oh.
Yep.
Probably. That's a toughie because.
There were some hard deaths, but the good thing about Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, if you watch it enough, usually your character comes back eventually.
Yeah, because the whole main point of the series is the Dragon Balls can grant any wish, and as long as you don't die of natural causes, you can be brought back to life. So that's why many of the kids, but there are some rules, like you can only be brought back so many times. Or
if you die a natural death, you can't come back. That's
right.
Why Goku in the future couldn't come back, but they wished him in the Dragon
Balls. Right, because he died of a heart virus, so he couldn't be wished back by the Dragon Balls. And Grandpa Gohan, that was stepped on by Goku when he turned into a great ape, he died of blood hemorrhaging, so that's a natural, that's considered a natural. That's why he was never able to wish his grandpa back, and... So, like, you know, there's rules and stuff, but I think the worst death, oh, man, there's a couple. General Blue gets me every time, and I don't know if it's just because it's bad or if because it's bad and hilarious at the same time. So there is a character that is very clearly inspired by the Nazi, the Nazi party in Dragon Ball called General Blue of the Red Ribbon Army.
Yeah.
And he's dressed kind of like a commandant, like German, like he's got the bright blonde hair, blue eyes. He's got the German Nazi hat and everything. But he's really strong or whatever. Goku fights him and actually loses because when he was a child, he lost a lot. But there was another member called Mercenary Tao. And if you don't know who Mercenary Tao is, you're going to have to look this guy up. Because he is the most bougie murdering assassin.
Bougie, I mean.
Like, for example, he's walking through town, and a soldier that he steals from shoots at him. He kicks his slipper off behind him, up into the air, the slipper deflects the bullet back and kills the soldier, and then he slides right back into the slipper and keeps walking.
Like
this guy,
runway.
This guy is bougie. Like, when he's trying to get to Goku to get the Dragon Ball, he's like, seems like that's like 100 miles away. Picks up a piece of wood and chunks it as hard as he can, and then rides the piece of wood 100 miles through the air. He's like a real life Vance. But my my original point was General Blue probably has one of the worst deaths in the series I can think of, because he insults Mercenary Tao, and Mercenary Tao basically says, "I could kill you with the tip of my tongue if I wanted to." And he's like, "Oh yeah?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he jumps up and he touches the tip of his tongue to General Blue's temple and literally kills him. Like, he just falls over dead, eyes roll. Like, he doesn't pass out, he dies.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's not brutal, but it's, like, one of the most insane things I've ever seen in a TV show.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, he killed a dude with the tip of his tongue. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then, like...
Krillin gets some pretty bad deaths.
Yeah, Krillin has some bad deaths.
When he was a kid, he gets killed by King Piccolo's henchmen. He gets his neck broke. He's only like 12 years old. And then when he's on...
Hear me out. For me, from Vegeta is my favorite, but his first death that he had where he cries.
Yeah, when he cried in front of Goku.
Frieza,
yeah.
Like, and you figured out why he was such a bad person, because Frieza ruined him, you know?
Yeah.
And he cries and stuff. That was probably really hard for me, too. That and Trunks' death in front of Vegeta during the
when Cell killed him. Yeah. I'd have to say this one's a more new death. In Super, Zamasu, the evil god, in the future he kills Chi Chi and Goten in front of Goku.
Yeah.
He just kind of like impales him and kills him in front of him. That was pretty rough. But and then there's old Yamcha boy blowing up by a Cyberman.
Yamcha,
it's hilarious, but
Yamcha's death is actually very popular because they use all of his death poses.
Yeah, there's other animes where they'll have characters fall down or whatever, and they'll be in the Yamcha pose when he was killed.
But some of Yamcha's deaths he deserved. I mean, the whole thing.
Well, Yamcha
really only
dies twice.
He
dies from the Cybermen, and then Majin Buu kills him. Krillin dies several times.
You're right. Yamcha only dies like two or three times. I'm thinking he gets his energy sucked out of him at one point too.
Well, he got impaled through the stomach by an android, Dr. Gero, but he didn't die. They gave him a sensu bean.
Literally, when he got impaled, it's like, yeah, he's Yamcha.
Yeah, like, we all saw that coming.
But it's funny that in the show, they actually worded the characters to be like, yeah, Yamcha, you'll just probably die, stay away.
Yeah, there's like at one point where they're going to fight Cell or something, and like Goku's like, Yamcha, don't you need to be getting back? I mean, this is a little bit out of our league. It's like, yeah, you got a point. He just bails. But I mean, you know, that happens to Krillin and stuff a lot, too. They all die. They're called the original Suicide Squad for a reason. So.
Krillin, though, he's brave. I mean, at first he's scaredish, but he always ends up letting the brave take over.
Right.
Like, I respect Krillin for that.
Oh, yeah, Krillin's best human besides Tien and them.
Tien is questionable.
I love Tien, and he's one of the strongest. But he also started out as a villain.
Uh-huh.
A lot of characters in Dragon Ball will start out as... That's what started that trope in anime of, like, they're being a bad guy, but through Goku's fighting and stuff, they turn out to be good guys. Like, started with Tien, and then you have Piccolo, Vegeta being a major one. Yeah, Yamcha was a bandit in the original Dragon Ball, and Goku won him over, so.
Yamcha, Tien,
Krillin was his, not a bad guy, but Krillin was like his rival in school.
Yeah, I say Krillin didn't like him at first or something, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, Krillin hated Goku in the beginning, but that's because Goku kept slapping his crotch to see if he had balls or not. The original Dragon Ball is out of pocket. Like, there's an episode in the very beginning where Bulma, like, Goku takes her underwear off because she doesn't have balls, and he's freaking out, and he's like, your balls are gone. She's like, no, they're not. They're over here in the bag, because she thought he was talking about the Dragon Balls. Then they meet Master Roshi for the first time, and he's like, I'll give you my Dragon Ball if you let me have a peek at your underwear. And she's like, sure, here. And then later she's like, where's my underwear? I'm not wearing any underwear. And Goku's like, yes, because I took them off. And she's like, you what? And she beats the shit out of him.
That means she literally gave him a full view of her dragon.
Just the whole vagina right there.
Yeah, right there.
But then after that, Goku had to start tapping people's crotches to see if they were boys or girls.
With his stick.
He used his hand sometimes, too.
Yeah. What is his
the power pole.
The power pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever happened to the cloud that he would ride around on? Because you didn't see
it's
it.
It's still
like,
there. Gohan uses it. Goten's using it in the manga right now, but it's called Nimbus. Yeah. He gets that from Master Roshi. You have to be pure of heart to ride it, and Roshi couldn't ride it, so he gave it to him. Because he's a lecherous old pervert, but...
That nosebleeds everything. You know, that was also like a turn thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Master Roshi's nosebleeds anytime he was, like, looking at inappropriate things or women are being a sleazeball. And now, like, you have emojis, like, if somebody's being a sleazeball, like, your nosebleeds or anything.
Well, in Japan, too, sex is a little bit more, like, comedic and funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, in America, that was like, oh, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
We have to censor that shit right now.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, in Japan. Like, there's even an episode where he's fighting, there's a season where Goku, when he's a kid, he has to fight, like, a mummy and, a Dracula bat and stuff at Baba's palace.
Yeah.
And there's an invisible man, and the way that they beat the invisible man is that Krillin pulls down Bulma's top and Master Roshi's nosebleed shoots all over the invisible guy. So, I mean, you know, like, you can tell the original Dragon Ball, the tone is very different than Dragon Ball Z. It went serious after a while, but Dragon Ball Super is kind of a mix between the two, and then Dragon Ball GT is what happens when you give control to people that did not create the show, and they go super edgy.
Dragon Ball GT is just a bad acid trip.
Like, the Super Saiyan 4s, even though they look cool, that's like one of the only things I like about the show, even though they look cool, they literally have eyeliner on. That's how edgy it is.
You know something weird? Like, when I was a kid, I got some Dragon Ball Z action figures, right? And I was watching Dragon Ball Z at the time, but I was like, some of the characters, I'm like, who? I've never seen them on Dragon Ball Z like this. I just thought it was episodes I missed or something, right? Turns out they were from GT. It was like Super Saiyan four Goku, red monkey looking one, and stuff like that.
Well, see, that's like me. I watched Dragon Ball Z first, so, like, I would see flashbacks and stuff of, like, King Piccolo and crap and be like, was there a show before this? And then I find out that there's a whole series before Dragon Ball Z.
it's crazy.
But more on Toriyama here. He didn't just do Dragon Ball. He's done a couple other things. Like I said, Dr. Slump. He's very well known for doing the artwork for the video game series Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Which they all look like Dragon Ball Z characters.
Yeah.
He did the artwork on one of the greatest RPGs of all time, which is Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo. He's done a lot of just, like, side projects and stuff. Let's see.
What was the little robot run?
Her Rayleigh. She's like a little robot girl from Dr. Slump. Sometimes she'll be on Dragon Ball. Sometimes.
They have, like, filler episodes with her.
Yeah, she'll occasionally be on there. Toriyama was credited as a season. Here's a piece of trivia I didn't know. He was credited as the creative consultant and producer for Dragon Ball Evolution, that shitty live-action movie.
Yes.
but he also reportedly cautioned the producers, saying that the script was bland, uninteresting, and that his suggestions to change the script to be more in tone with the plot of the actual series were ignored completely. How do you ignore the creator of the movie that you're adapting? Like, that's insane to me.
That's just dumb right there. Because then you get the movie that came out.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that movie is what saved Dragon Ball fans getting more content in reality. The movie was so bad that from 2010 to 2013, Akira Toriyama began work on his new project, which turned out being the movie Battle of Gods, which was later adapted into the first season of Dragon Ball Super. So his hatred and how Dragon Ball Evolution turned out is what got us another series of Dragon Ball.
Oh, wow.
So in a way, we can be grateful for that. But
yeah, so in a way, we have to kind of be like, thanks for something, I guess. He was married in 1982. Wow, he's okay. So he's had the same wife his whole life. That's sweet. Her name was Yoshimi Kato. Or Kaito, if I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. He had two children. His children were Sasuke Toriyama and Kika Toriyama. Just a little bit of trivia here. There's only two things. One is that he is afraid of mice so badly that Akira would not go into work in a studio if he seen a mouse or any evidence of a mouse infestation.
Oh, wow.
Some cool quotes real quick by Akira. And also trivia. He says that the movie Drunken Master in 1978 was the main inspiration for Dragon Ball. He would have never created it if he'd never seen it. Akira's favorite character is Piccolo.
Yes.
Which is also mine. He said, I believe that my favorite character would be Piccolo because he was the first character in the manga where I was like, you know, I drew a really scary face, but he's also very cool. So it really is cliche when a bad guy turns into a good guy, but it just felt great drawing it, so then I did it several more times with other characters.
Basically,
he would come up with this badass-looking character as a villain and then be like, I really don't want him bad anymore, and turn him into a good guy.
I don't want him to be dead anymore. Let's just make
make him a hero so I can keep drawing him over and over again.
I looked up a few bootleg Dragon Ball Z items, and speaking of
I
think you might find them. All right, this one's called "Gonna Get His Swamp Back," and it is a backpack, and it is a Shrek 2 backpack with Piccolo's picture on it.
I gotta say that one, that's a good one. I like that.
Let's see here. When you're about to have a cameo in One Piece, and it's a picture of Goku dressed up as the dude from One Piece.
Oddly enough, the creator, I can't remember their names, and I'll get shit for this later, I'm sure. The creator of One Piece, Naruto, and My Hero Academia are just a few that literally started writing manga and drawing because of Akira Toriyama. So there are many anime series and mangas out there that we never would have gotten if Akira had never created Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and I mean, they base their characters off his character.
Right.
Bro, here's what I'm getting you for your birthday this year.
Naruto is literally, he has the blonde hair like a Super Saiyan. He wears the orange like Goku.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's literally.
I was just going to say, there's a, however you say, whoever you just said, Naruto costume
Naruto.
Right here. But it's however you say it, Dragon Ball. The most crossover event in history, and it's a costume, literally what you just described.
Yep.
The orange.
Well,
we know
Lacey's favorite character is Vegeta.
Well,
I'm trying to find
favorite. I have other favorite characters, but he's my favorite.
Okay,
my
here's one.
Pickle.
Super Saiyans hit Springfield, and it is a Simpsons version of a Super Saiyan.
Holy crap, that's funny.
And
is
it's Homer as the, I guess it would be, what's Super Saiyan 4 or 5 of Goku, the red monkey one I was talking about?
Super Saiyan 4, yeah.
Super Saiyan 4.
He says, go! And then...
What's your favorite character, Dakota?
My favorite character? Let's see. Krillin's probably my favorite out of the series.
I thought Yajirobe was your favorite.
Oh, he is when it comes to saving the day. Krillin's, like, one of my favorite characters. And then, like, in the video games, I always played as Kid Trunks. I don't know why. I just liked him better.
He's annoying little shit.
I love Trunks. I like Future Trunks, and I have high hopes.
Adult Trunks is way better than...
Yeah, but I have high hopes for Kid Trunks.
Trying to find some more of his bootleg merchandise. Some of it's not even worth talking about because it's just like some stupid shit. I'm just trying to find the good ones on here. Get your Saiyan face
on. Even the licensed merchandise is bad.
Oh, I know. Some of it looks a little freaking iffy, too. I was looking at it earlier, too, trying to find some, like, good stuff.
Freaking icky.
Like some of this stuff looks like the stuff I would see over in Mexico, like crossing the border, you'd see like a little stand. the weirdest thing I ever saw in Mexico like that, it was literally a bat pack. It was the shape of Sonic the Hedgehog, and it had like a Ninja Turtle or something on it, or it said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something, or some shit, but
that's
it was like Sonic.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to be like, it was a Sonic the Hedgehog backpack, and it was snorting cocaine, saying, "Gotta go fast."
No, but that should be a one. If that isn't
that's
one, that
I
should
would
be.
Like the cartel, so what? It's just,
wait,
it's just Sonic
let
the Hedgehog.
Me ask you guys this before I even tell you this: did Vegeta at any point have an axe?
An axe?
No.
No. Uh-huh. He never had
okay,
a
there's a figure.
Weapon.
It's a super see-through Saiyan, and it's like one of those, like, I don't know if it glows or something, you know, like figures. But it has him with, like, a battle axe, like the Black Power Rangers-looking battle axe back in the day. That's why I had to ask, because I'm like, I've never seen him use a weapon before. Okay, there ain't no good ones on there. Let's jump over to the legit toys and see what's on it. All right, here... why is my internet being slow? Dragon
it's
Ball.
Slow like it's mastered.
Okay, this right here, yeah, a little bit. Let's see. Okay, this right here gives you, it's some toys, but it'll tell you like how much they're worth now and stuff like that. And let's see, a toy of Piccolo, of King Piccolo, is worth $800.
Holy shit.
This one's a Tokyo Toy Festival King Piccolo, $800.
Well, that's
see,
nice.
What else? See, Jack Pacific's Gohan Cell Budokai Double Pack is worth $100. I'm guessing that's the video game, too, or whatever. Or
you disappointed. Because
that was the name of the game. Wasn't Budokai the name of the game?
Yes, but the game? You're like, I think that's what it's called.
I knew it was Budokai or something like that. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I can't pronounce things. Let's see. Super Battle Collecting Baby is worth $200 plus.
Yeah, that's one of those GT villains. Actually, Baby wasn't that bad. Everything
this
after
one's a great
baby
monkey baby.
Great monkey baby.
So
out
says,
of context.
Whoa.
If I didn't know
who
what
is...
Great Monkey Baby looked like. Out of context.
It's a giant golden monkey baby. Okay, I can't even pronounce this, but it in Shinchiban Kuzi Gold Azazura worth $2,300.
Say it one more time.
Hold on. It literally just looks like a monkey, but it is Ichiban.
Ozaru?
Okay. Ichiban Kusi Gold Ozoria. Yeah, $2,300.
Yeah, It's just a golden ape.
For $2,300 though, bro.
Yeah, that's a lot of damn money for a big monkey. I'm just going to tell you. Especially when I got one for free in my pants.
Now we gotta rate this episode R. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, one of the video games for looks like Super Nintendo or maybe Sega. No, actually, it looks like it's for a Sega Genesis. One of the games for it is worth. Oh, it doesn't say. Son of a bitch, it didn't say.
Thanks for the build up.
I know, I built myself up, like, what the fuck just happened? Well, that's the other thing he didn't say. Okay, let's see. Ichiban, Puji, Shagan, Gold, Silver, $600.
There he goes.
Why, thank you. Of course I would like to take your turtle out on a date. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
what
my God.
Said.
I have to buy this because it's literally my favorite scene is when that dude chops off Vegeta's tail as a giant monkey and saves the day.
Yeah,
it's literally a model of that, and it's worth $900, though. So, anybody wants to buy that for us, please.
My favorite part of that scene is when Vegeta turns back to normal, realizes that he did it, and then beats the shit out of him. He just, like, falls down to his knees, and he's like, yes, I've waited for this all day. And he just starts beating the crap out of Yajiru.
Oh, shit. But, no, if anybody listening wants to buy me this, it's only $900.
Only $900. It's over $900. No.
Ooh, here's something that costs $1,000. Raging Blast 2 Overseas Version. Okay, this is the overseas version.
I have
version
that game.
Something.
Not the overseas version, but I have that.
If you have the overseas version, it's worth $1,000, bro.
It's probably because of Hoshiok. That's the only game he's in.
The Dragon Ball Battle of Muscle Tower is worth
$1,900. Damn.
Dude, I'm in the wrong business. I need to fucking start collecting this shit. Okay, an Angel Goku figure. It doesn't say the price on that. Why is somebody not saying the prices?
You should look up Ninja Murasaki, by the way.
Ninja Murasaki?
He is the one that Goku is in the Red Ribbon Army. He's a ninja, and Goku literally ruins his day for a solid good 2 or 3 episodes.
Yes.
Like he shoves his power pole up his ass.
That's what
I'm saying. Is he the ninja dude that has, like, the ponytail and, like,
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I don't
got,
know what you're
like,
talking about.
He wears purple and...
It's the funniest crap.
Like, Goku's, like, another part I like is Goku's got these ninja throwing stars, and Ninja Murasaki's like, go ahead, throw them. I have the reflexes of a cat. And Goku's just like, okay, and tosses it, and it smacks right in between of his eyes. Or then he's like, he's in the water using those bamboo reeds to breathe air so that Goku can't find him, and it starts wiggling or whatever, and Goku runs inside and gets the tea kettle that's on the fire and pours the hot tea down the bamboo stick. Fucking great, man. Like, this ninja was getting his ass handed to him for, like, 3 whole episodes.
Yes. All right, so... Let me ask you guys this. Who do you guys think was probably the most pointless character on Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or any of them?
Pointless character?
Yeah, like the
I mean,
one
I
that's like, why,
have,
why is he even here?
I think they all have purpose, but like...
Oolong, at a point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like at certain different times, like characters like Oolong and Stuff the Pig, they don't have any purpose later on, but like they served their purpose when they were there. I was about to say Launch was so bad that the creator forgot she existed. So, other than her, the most pointless character. That's a tough one. I don't know. I'm trying to think of one that's just literally has no point. Probably.
Well, while you're thinking of that, okay, so I have another question to add on to this too.
Sure.
If Launch would have got brought into Dragon Ball Z, how do you think? Or, like, where do you think she would have ended up in there?
She would have been Tien's love interest.
Yeah, because they, I mean,
they were
how it ended.
They were pushing them pretty heavy. yeah. at the end of Dragon Ball, and then she just disappeared. So I figured
so,
if she was.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. Then they would end up together, and then when they came back after the Cell Saga, they probably would have had a kid like how Krillin and all of them did.
I don't know. TM was pretty, like, into his training and stuff. I figured she would always kind of be, like, the nagging wife, and it would never show her, or he would ignore her.
I think his friend, which was a child.
Chiaotzu.
Yeah.
Was
always kind of his child, and you know, that he took care of.
Yeah, Chiaotzu was, even though he was
a friend,
of age, he was more like a child, like his son kind of figure.
Yeah.
Than,
so he
yeah.
didn't have to have...
He was never a romantic, like, there's been other characters in the show and, like, Dragon Ball that have tried to, no, I meant, like, women.
Oh, okay.
That have tried to, like, romance Tien, and he's just like, I ain't got time for you thoughts. Like, I got to train. So, probably my
now, is he
pointless
an alien?
Character I can
he's
think,
an alien
oh, my
too, though,
God.
Isn't he?
I don't know.
I got one now. You're going to love this one, Dakota. His name is Bacterian.
Yeah.
He is in the original tournament, the first tournament that Goku and Krillin ever are in when they're children, and he is the smelliest man on the planet. He uses his stench and stuff to win his matches because nobody can stay conscious long enough to fight him, and his attacks are disgusting. He spits loogies at people. His number one attack is called the Dirty Finger, and he literally rubs his finger in his crotch and then pulls it out, and it's got, like, death fumes coming off of it.
Oh,
like,
shit.
He farts on Krillin's face and literally almost gets the KO.
Yeah,
the
thing that reminds Krillin he don't have a nose, so he can fight him.
Yeah, literally, Goku breaks the fourth wall and is like, Krillin, if you think about it, you don't have a nose. And Krillin's like, he's right, and then beats his ass. Like, and then Krillin does the best piece de resistance I've ever seen. He knocks the shit out of him, hops up onto his face, and farts in his mouth, and then wins the match. Like, I'm telling you, dude, old school Dragon Ball is out of pocket for no reason.
Well, dude, old school Dragon Ball seems a little bit intense. Oh, shit.
I mean,
well, guys, we got about 7 minutes left of the show. This is definitely going to have to be a two-parter for sure.
Oh,
there's so much about that's like, and it's not just Dragon Ball, but like any good show or anything like that or comic or whatever, I think we could do multiple episodes and stuff on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for
but
sure.
I'm gonna have to come back with like an episode on like just the villains and stuff and or like just the out of pocket things in Dragon Ball or like there's so
many
things.
We should do a thing. We should start from the beginning and just cover, like, Dragon Ball, you know, a few episodes, and then, you know,
there's so much.
Dragon Ball Z, then GT, and then just kind of, like, try to cover it all.
Yeah, each show itself could probably take up a couple of episodes, especially Dragon Ball, because it's long.
Dragon Ball, and then Dragon Ball Z is the next one.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z is pretty long, too, but.
See, that's what I used to hate about Dragon Ball Dragon Ball Z when it would come on a Saturday mornings. It would do the intro, and then they would do the recap from the week before. And then
and
it would
then
be like
about,
a commercial.
You'd have about 9 minutes of content, and then it would be like, next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and you're just like.
Yeah, once they started releasing them on DVD and you could binge them, that was the best way.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though. This is probably a good thing to end on. Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z in particular, when it came on, it used to aggravate the shit out of me when it would only come on like once a week, because you'd be sitting there and watching it, and like you said, there'd be like a commercial, there'd be fucking like a recap in the beginning, and then there'd be an episode or something where like. Goku would scream for 20 minutes charging up a spirit bomb, and you're like, oh, my God, this is so fucking cool. Here it comes. Next time on Dragon, and I'm like, no, you are not making me wait an entire week for this.
Literally, we would scream at it.
So then the next week comes, and it's like last time on Dragon Ball Z, Goku had the spirit bomb ready and about to throw it. Today, we find out what's going to happen. You watch it, and it's like he goes right before he goes to throw, and it's like, is he going to kill him with the spirit bomb? Who knows?
but we'll find out next time. And I'm like, no! You did it again!
It literally took 20 episodes to kill Frieza.
Yes! Frieza's death was the longest.
Oh, my God.
In anime.
It's one thing if it's just an episode or two, but if it's like 10 episodes, I'm like, please!
God, I'll never forget Ryan's like, I can go pee. It's just a recap. And like,
it's fine. And then it'll be that one episode where it's like, Frieza's been killed. And I'm like, I just had to pee-pee. What happened? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And it'll be like the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be people like on the internet and shit and be like, oh, my God, dude, you see that episode? And I'm like, no.
No, I
thank
had to go
God for the internet.
Anyways, Lacey, pimp out our other shows, Lacey. You know what to do. Come where they can find us all.
You can find us on Facebook. On all of our shows have their own page. So, Too Much Star Talk has got a Facebook page. Ask Me Levice has got a Facebook page. Dramatically Siblings has a Facebook page. The Stash has a Facebook page. And then you can also find us on our individual pages, which is Ryan's got to space out. He's saying bye now.
Bye, baby.
You can also find us on our individual pages on Lacey Fanico on Facebook, and Ryan's got Ryan White on Facebook. Do not follow the Curtis White. It's not his page anymore. He was hacked, and now they own it. Anyway, you can find Dakota on
you can find me
Facebook,
on my Facebook.
Dakota Wheatley.
And TikTok
Instagram,
under Dakota King
and
Comedy.
And he has TikTok. Yeah, and even
my
though TikTok's we don't know how long TikTok's going to last. Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's what pisses me off. I literally...
You finally get one.
Over last weekend. I know. I finally get one. I start with like 30 followers. Now I'm up to like 200 just like the last few days. I'm getting like 50 followers every day, and I don't know why. So thank you guys. You guys are awesome. But
probably because everybody's like trying to watch as much as they can before. You know,
that's what it is. That's what it is. They're like, oh, he must be funny, and then they're like, it's like, oh no, never mind. they read my jokes, and they're like, oh no, he ain't that funny. But anyways, you can find us all on our pages and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
Tune in Tuesday for Ask Me Levice. Tune in Wednesday maybe for the Stash. Tune in next Saturday for Too Much Nerd Talk. I will try to do a Dakota show in between all that. I think that's about it.
We have added some more videos on Dramatically Siblings page too, if y'all want to check us out there on Facebook. So.
And they are funny as hell. I was watching one earlier, and Ryan still does not know the difference in grapes. We'll never let this live down.
But he does know the different flavors of sauces. So, anyway, enjoy that. When he's not here, I can talk some dirt on him and say that the sauces did come back and attack him later. So, anyway.
With that being said, guys, remember, always roast the world. Why?
Because the world needs roasting.
Ryan, sing us out.
Yes, we can do it. Anyway, it's going on. Bye.